InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. It's the Sunday broadcast, final broadcast of January 2010. We're already a month through the year. Man, it is flying by before I know it. It'll be 2011, 2012, 2013. And hopefully we'll have staved off tyranny enough that this program and others like it still exist out there. I want to open up with four charged in phone scheme at Senator Landro's office. Now, there's a bunch of mainstream articles out here talking about the kid from Acorn who posed as a pimp, had the prostitute there, and made national headlines everywhere. Now, him and three other guys were, I guess, tapping the office of this senator. And here's one of the headlines here from Yahoo. Phone tampering case, prank or political spying. Was it an attempt at political espionage or a third-rate prank? And was anyone else involved? Now, what's interesting here is apparently one of the guys that was detained, he was outside, had a receiver in a car, is a black ops guy, Stan Day. A third defendant, Stan Day, 24, was editor of George Washington University's conservative paper and directed a program aimed at getting college students interested in intelligence and in the field of intelligence after 9/11. Hey, what do you know? And then the person that said that he was outside when he was detained, and I think this one's out of the USA Today, so you have to piece these together, folks. Each different mainstream article gives you a separate piece of the puzzle. One of the police officers who was speaking on the basis of anonymity, here it is right here. A federal law enforcement official said one of the suspects was picked up in a car a couple of blocks away with a listening device that could pick up transmissions. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because the information was not, let me repeat this, was not part of the FBI affidavit. And another official confirmed that Day was the suspect arrested outside. So why is the cover-up starting with the FBI affidavit? So we're going to talk about that. We also have a guest coming up. I believe it's in the second half of the second hour. It's a buddy of mine out of upstate New York. He gets pulled over, by the police. I guess he gets pulled over coming through the toll booth at the thruway. I know Texans love toll booths, and believe me, New Yorkers love them too. And he's told to pull to the side of the road, and he gets pulled over, and the cop starts searching his car. There's Chris right there. They start searching his car. And they're asking him, do you have any drugs or weapons? He's like, no, man, I don't have anything. I'm just trying to get home. So then they start doing field sobriety tests with him, but they don't offer him a breathalyzer because they're like, no, we think you're on meth. And it gets out of control. They end up impounding his car and taking him down to the station, demanding blood and urine. So we're going to have him on. We're going to focus on this this story about Stan Day, the Acorn Kid, and two others. Again, mainstream media reporting that, yes, he did have a listening device. Yes, he is running operations for intelligence to recruit people after 9/11. And he's also running the conservative paper at George Washington University. Stan Day, D-A-I. We're going to get into that big. We're going to talk about this global tax that the bankers now. Okay, we'll accept a global tax. We really need to come together. Just total in your face. I don't even know how to describe it, folks. We tell you they want a global tax. They tell you they want a global tax, but it's going to put them in line, right? Yes, I'm sure the bankers are going to stop committing crimes and consolidating power after they have their global tax. And we're also going to get into really beyond ClimateGate. There are so many mainstream articles now coming out, such as UN climate change panel based claims on student dissertation and magazine article. Climate chief was told of false glacier claims before Copenhagen. And much, much more. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. We'll be back after this. Hope you're listening live on InfoWars.com or watching me streaming over at PrismPlanet.tv.
From another dimension.
the Info Award with Jason Burmess. A little later, I am going to go through this latest hit piece by Michael Shermer. And there's another hit piece out there. I think it's called Voodoo Histories, Attacking 9/11 Truth. And I'm going to piece by piece debunk their debunking. And it's really not hard. Every time I read these things, they have the same exact talking points. They say, well, the steel didn't have to melt. It loses its integrity at a certain temperature. And they will never, ever, 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 ever address the evidence that the temperature was much hotter. See, we're citing real evidence. And it's rebutting again the 9/11 truthers and voodoo histories. And this all really intertwines with this Cass Sunstein paper, the 30-page white paper out there where they say, hey, guess what? We got to infiltrate these groups. We've got to stop them, and we've got to break them up because 9/11 truth is dangerous to the establishment. So we're going to go over those papers. We're going to debunk them point by point. But I want to, again, go over this because it really hasn't been talked about, not only in the mainstream media, but even in the alternative media at this point. And that is the four charged in phone scheme at Senator, I don't even know how to say it, Landrieu or Landrieu's office. Now, again, it got headlines. Because the one kid there was the Acorn kid posing as a pimp. Now, these guys also had different outfits. They were posing as an electric crew, I guess it was. They were outside on a phone pole. And in the USA Today article, let me read it again. They admit that the person who was arrested outside was a guy named Stan Day, D-A-I. Who has all sorts of intelligence connections, apparently. And that's in separate articles. A federal law enforcement said one of the suspects was picked up in a car a couple blocks away with a listening device that could pick up transmissions. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because the information was not part of the FBI affidavit. Okay, so why isn't it part of the FBI affidavit? And right away, this FBI official or federal official smells that something's wrong. And by smelling that something's wrong, what are you looking for your keys, Jones?
I'm looking for my phone. Keep going.
All right, I'm sorry. I could call it. That's all right. Here, have one of the guys call your phone for mine.
No, it's turned off.
Oh, of course. Anyway, so we have that. And then in the other article, we find out, hey, wait a minute. This guy's heading up the conservative paper at George Washington University. He's also recruiting kids for intelligence after 9/11. And he's a youngster. So we really have to look at this and see where it goes from here. What were they doing there? What were they setting up? Who are these guys? Lots of questions to ask. We're also going to take your calls, 888-201-2244. I'll take a couple calls right now. Let's go to Brad in Pennsylvania. Brad, you are on the line, sir.
How you doing? How are you and Alex doing today? You guys, thanks a lot for everything you do, for bringing the truth out. We love you guys, man. You guys are holding down the fort there at the Alamo in Austin nowadays, and God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, man. What's on your mind?
I was holding for Alex, and then his show ran over, and I thought I'll just hold on and talk to you. I did want to mention one thing I just saw in the paper, reading it last night at work, where Bill Gates is going to give another $10 billion to vaccinate kids all over the world. And
yeah, it's for the decade of the vaccine, and I've got that in my stack, sir. Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder and philanthropist, is to make the largest ever single charitable donation with a pledge of $10 billion for vaccine work over the next decade. This should be no surprise to anybody that actually follows geopolitics. Bill Gates actually at the 2007 Davos convention that just wrapped up this year, 3 years ago, was talking about population sustainability while sitting next to Bono. I have that clip, unfortunately, in the masses of clips that are coming up in Invisible Empire. I just couldn't fit it into it. I mean, we're looking at a 2-hour movie and I've got to cut so much stuff. I mean, it's overwhelming. And let's not forget, this guy also has his hand in weather warfare as well. You know, he's the guy with the we can knock down hurricanes machines, and he wants to shake down third world and island nations with a tax to protect them from hurricanes. This guy, you know, he screams eugenicist.
Him and his dad, and that I don't know what's the biggest threat anymore, whether it's money. They're coming at us from all fronts. You guys, hold down the fort. Keep putting out all the information. It's crazy. I don't know how we're going to defend ourselves. Most people have no clue what's going on. thanks to you and Alex. God bless you. You guys getting that information out every day. And, you know, we just got to fight the good fight and keep battling them.
I'm with you, Brad. Thank you so much for the love out there. And I'll tell you how we win. We keep our free humanity intact. Maybe you weren't awake a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I know 10 years ago, I certainly wasn't awake. It really took 9/11 and the subsequent invasion into Afghanistan and the drum beating before the Iraq war to wake me up. But people can be awakened. I believe in humanity. I believe that good and evil are out there. And I believe that we as human beings have the capability for both. Just like a hammer has the capability of building a house or bashing somebody's skull in, we can use the tools of the internet, like a computer, to get our message across. In other words, without the internet, I don't know how far along we would be. Well, that's one of the most free places. But can the internet be used for evil? You bet your ass it can. I mean, there are people doing some dark, dark things on the net. But that's with everything. And I think there is, you know, I don't even want to call it a balance, because I think there are periods throughout history where you see, you know, just the epitome of darkness and then the epitome of light. And I'm hoping that we can overcome the darkness, because we are in some pretty dark times. You look beyond the United States and how horrific it's really become here. That's tyranny light, folks. You want to see real tyranny? Go to Haiti. I mean, that's real tyranny. South Africa, that is real tyranny. I guarantee there are a lot of people out in Venezuela. I know there's a bunch of leftists listening to the show. Don't take down our God Chavez. Don't talk bad about Castro. But they, there's Ryan. But that is even harder tyranny than what we have to deal with on a daily basis now. So, you know, I do believe we can take the system back over. I do believe that we can have a government for and by the people. I do believe that we can challenge the bankers and really their system that doesn't empower humanity. It enslaves the majority of it. Let's go to Drew in New York. Drew, you're online. Yes, sir.
Fellas, I think you're doing a great job, man. I was just like the previous gentleman. I was holding the old from Alex show, and then I see that you guys expose similar things, and it's just mind-boggling what these people are doing. And hopefully, we can save humanity and save the free sovereign national sovereignty as we know it before it gets to that point where we're like these countries where these kids are brainwashed from where they're young and end up like that. It's mind-boggling that Tim Geithner humiliated himself on national TV when he got grilled. Him and Bernanke, however you pronounce the other guy's name, continue to keep their job. And
Bernanke, like, was Time's Man of the Year. And, you know, let's talk about Time Man of the Year for a second, Drew. Time is one of those propaganda pieces out there that is timeless almost. I mean, they gave Hitler the cover many times and Man of the Year twice. These guys are constantly promoting the establishment and their ideals. They loved putting George Bush Sr. on the cover. They loved putting his son on the cover. They loved putting anti-Saddam propaganda on the cover. And again, we just have to go forward, push forward. What was even more insulting to me, Drew, was not so much that, you know, Bernanke, of course it's insulting, the man gets Time Man of the Year and gets to keep his job, and that Geithner can sit up there and lie. But then I have to see Kramer, who's supposed, so many people tell me, oh, Kramer's trying to do the right thing. He was telling it like it was during the collapse. He waited to tell it like it was. And then as things were collapsing, he had a little breakdown on the air. But I want to pull this clip so we can play it for people. We'll play it in the next segment. Bernanke, out of nowhere, I mean, literally out of nowhere, after worshiping Timmy Geithner, basically saying, oh, you know, the way they treated Geithner was just unbelievable. Have a little respect for the man. He just saved Western economics. These are all quotes. And then he's out of nowhere. He's just like, you know what? As a commentator, I need to be able to say things like this. The Bavarian Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, and the Queen of England are not all bad. And I was just like, whoa, where did that one come from? And I can't wait for Monday to come around. I've got a buddy who does some financial blogging in New York City, and he's always talking about Kramer. I can't wait to get his take on that. Drew, I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening. Keep up the fight, brother. We can win this thing. Let's go to Julio in Illinois. Julio, you're online.
Jason Burmes, how are you today, my friend?
Good, good.
All right. I mentioned this on Alex's show the other day when he was talking with Dr. Manning, and then this idea just popped out of my head when I was in my sociology class discussing the March on Washington. Everybody knows, or us freedom fighters know, that the Federal Reserve System owns our monetary system in the United States since 1913. I think Truman was it. He wrote in his diaries that, you know, he pretty much sold his soul to the United States to these private banks.
I think that's Woodrow Wilson. Go ahead.
What we need to do, I believe, tax day, we have 4 months to plan this. And you're from New York, and I know you and Alex, you guys know Luke from We Are Change New York. Tax day, April 15th, I say we have a march on Wall Street. We go to the heart of New York City where the bulls and bears are, and we have a peaceful, all caps, with a capital P, peaceful protest against the global banks, the Federal Reserve, and pretty much exposed to the entire world who really runs our monetary system. And I think if people are listening in New York, would want to set this up, get permits, we can do this. We could expose. We don't have much time. I heard someone calling to the Alex Jones show talking about how much time we have left. Time is not our friend right now. We need to have all these bullets of information posted online through YouTube, through your page, through Alex's page, everywhere, and promote this March on Wall Street on tax day,
Julio, I love the idea, my man. I absolutely love the idea. I think that if you were to get in contact with somebody like Cindy Sheehan, you could further promote it. I know she's going down on D.C., but April 15th down at Wall Street sounds like a great idea. God bless you, man. I hope it takes off. Get it together. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and a lot of people, you know, don't have idle hands. Get out there and do some. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior. Segment of the Info Warrior with Jason Berman. So I thought that I would touch on this, something we don't normally cover here, but I know today's the day of the Pro Bowl, and next week I'll be doing my show, believe it or not, during Super Bowl Sunday. I know the thought of somebody having to work on Super Bowl Sunday may cause some people to mentally collapse or have a heart attack or, you know, just have anxiety. Oh my God, he's going to be working during the Super Bowl? I mean, this is the Super Bowl. Folks, really, all I'll be missing are the commercials, and I'm sure that I will see the most popular brainwashing commercials, such as the Hulu ones of last year, on the internet later in the evening. So what am I talking about? Justice Department, Obama administration may take action on BCS. What's the BCS? That's the Bowl Championship Series, folks. Now, I've kind of discussed this on air, how Obama not only comes off as a likable guy, but he's athletic, he can shoot hoops, and he also wants a playoff for college football. And you get mindless America out there, and even, you know, a lot of smart guys. In fact, like the only friend I've made out here in Texas, outside of the office, is a big football fan, especially a big UT fan. He's in the know, really smart guy, but he likes football. So, I like sports. I'm into NBA basketball. It's tough for me to watch right now because the Knicks are horrible. They're just awful. I got a little present with the Yankees championship this year, but I didn't really get to follow it as much as I'd like to. In fact, the only baseball game I got to go to almost the entire Pirates-Dodgers game during the G20 before getting rubber bullets fired at me and threatened to be maced. And you can watch the video. I think you can type in Pittsburgh police brutality. So the Obama administration, he is actually trying to get the Bowl Championship Series turned into playoffs legally. And this is a huge distraction for America. This, folks, the country's in the crapper. I mean, we are admittedly over 10% unemployment. We got foreclosures going on all over the place. In my stack, I have 5 more banks going out of business in this country. If you listen to the show, at least once during the 3 hours, I mention what banks went under this week. Because we have banks going under every single week. We had 142 banks go under in the United States last year. Are you listening? And what is the president concerned with? Well, he's concerned with bread and circus. He's concerned with distracting you. He's concerned with a bowl championship series, and people who have no idea about politics are like, oh my, this is my man. I didn't vote this. I'm coming out to vote in 2012 for Obama, the man who brought me college football playoffs. I mean, that is the truth. So I had to go over this story. I had to hit it up. I had to warn people that just because it's hip and trendy and cool on the outside doesn't mean it's not hateful tyranny on the inside. It's like you see a delicious Reese's peanut butter cup in front of you. No one's around. You reach for that Reese's peanut butter cup and you bite into it, and living maggots and leeches are pouring out of the thing. That's what you're getting with Obama giving you college football playoffs. And that's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. All right, let's take some more callers. Let's go to Phil in New York. Phil, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man.
Have you heard about Obama supposedly changed his decision and turned around and decided he was going to give $150 million to the 9/11 first responders?
Ooh, I have not heard that. The last things I've heard on the first responders and that he refused to give them aid, but that was earlier in the week. I think that was like Monday or Tuesday. Are you saying he's turned this decision around?
I saw a video on YouTube yesterday from Russia Today. I have it on my channel. It's youtube.com/9/11InfoWarrior. Mm-hmm. It's my featured video on there. And it's a New York fire department lieutenant talking about how the original bill, the James Adroga bill, I think it was called, was supposed to be something like, you know, quadruple that over a period of 30 years. But this $150 million is only going to cover them through 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Obama's giving them something, but it seems like he's almost doing it just to shut us up, or because his approval rating is at an all-time low. I just don't trust him, you know?
Well, I don't trust him either. And, you know, in other 9/11 news, before we get to taking on Michael Shermer and this Voodoo Histories 9/11 article, I also want to bring up the fact that they have moved the trial of the supposed hijackers, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others that were involved in the 9/11 attacks, out of New York City. And now they're pussy. They said they were going to have an open trial, which we all knew wouldn't happen. Now they're saying military tribunals, maybe at Guantanamo Bay, maybe at the new American Guantanamo Bay out in Illinois. We'll be back after this. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes, from Blender.tv, InfoWars.com. InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. Now, I'm going to take a couple more calls, then I'm going to go to this clip of Kramer worshiping the Bavarian Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, and the Queen of England, which he knows is all in the same power structure. And the woman that's standing there next to him, this is what she says: "Wow!" And then just moves right on, just pushes it on forward. And then after we take a couple calls, I am going to go over this Michael Shermer piece, rebutting again the 9/11 truthers, Michael Shermer skeptic. And if Michael Shermer would ever like to step up to the plate, do this show, or go on a separate show and do a debate with me, I would love it. I would tear this guy apart. I mean, I would literally eviscerate the man. His facts are so shoddy and so over-the-top, belligerent lies. And his reasoning are lies. So we'll get to that soon. Let's take a couple calls. Let's go to Annie in New York. Annie, you're on the line.
Thank you very much, Jason. You do a great job.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to kind of expand on what you were talking about, the Senate burglary of Mary Landrieu's offices.
Mm-hmm.
There is a report by Gordon Duff and VeteransToday.com that it says Senate burglary, CIA domestic black op team arrested. And according to him, it says all four involved in Senate Homeland Security break-in are CIA NOC agents. And then he goes on to say that Landrieu was chairing hearings in the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And some of the things they were looking into were intelligence reform in the aftermath of the Christmas terror attack, overviews of contract and corruption in Afghanistan, investigating the root cause of the Fort Hood attack, development plans for post-surge Afghanistan, how U.S. banks help overseas corporations dodge U.S. taxes. So, I mean, he goes on. I mean, this is from yesterday, and he's saying that CIA program may have trained domestic death squads. So I think this is our, you know, now-day Watergate, and hopefully it will get as much attention.
Well, you know what? I am not that hopeful that this is going to get the attention and play that it deserves, as they have really covered up the sharp-dressed man, the Molotov incident, the person who was actually taping the event, but they've pushed forward with the body scanners. And I do have that Veterans Today article in front of me, and the reason that I didn't talk about it yet is because I wasn't sure on the sourcing that the other three people were actually NOC agents. I don't know that to be the case. But you look at Stan Day, and through the mainstream media, we can say, well, looks like he did work with intelligence because he was recruiting students post 9/11. He did head up the conservative paper at George Washington University, a great place to recruit spooks. And this other kid is involved in the Acorn scandal. And again, they had a device outside which wasn't in the FBI report where they were transmitting data. And on top of that, they also had all these different outfits where they were posing as telephone equipment and construction workers. So it does reek to high hell. But until we get more information, I'm sticking with the mainstream media sources. I do thank them for this report. There's a lot of great information in there. But before we say the other guys are involved in intelligence, let's prove it. Appreciate the call, Annie. All right, let's go to Thomas in California. Thomas, you're on the line.
Yes, in the last 2 months, has seen three U.S. Marine Corps IDs, and it has U.S. Marine Corps, their names, vital statistics. And at the bottom, in a gold strip, it says, under Geneva Convention jurisdiction. I wonder if you knew anything about that.
Where are you seeing these guys?
Out in California, Camp Pendleton.
I don't really know. I mean, they could be international NATO forces for all I know. I mean, we do run drills constantly with not only NATO, but foreign governments and militaries. Remember, when they were trying to do this Hardin Montana deal, they were going to have a Serbian come in who had 14 convictions, all sorts of aliases. And the side project, other than making it a privatized prison, having a privatized police force there, was that they were going to train foreign mercenary groups. So that may very well be what you're seeing. I couldn't tell you because I need a little more information. I appreciate the call, Thomas. All right, Kramer, he gets on television. What's he doing? He first is defending little Timmy Geithner. I was disgusted the way they treated Timmy Geithner. Then he defends and worships the banksters, including Bernanke, and then he brings it over the top. Not only admitting that a Bavarian Illuminati exists, because if you talk about the Bavarian Illuminati, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, folks. But not when you're Jim Cramer and you're kissing their ass on national television. Let's hit the clip.
Rates too low for too long and having some other kind of a bubble he's got to deal with afterwards. And clearly between those two, he said, I'd rather take the risk of some bubble.
Well, remember, he is a student of what happened in the 30s. That's why he's so good. Mm-hmm. He didn't know we were in the 1930s during 2007 and 2008, and that was bad. He got mortgages wrong initially. He didn't understand subprime. He should have just listened to you because you talked about it every day, for those of us who remember. But I think that once he got on the case, his view is worth revering. And he has more gravitas than anyone else in government. So I refuse to buy into the notion that he doesn't know what to do. And I think he studied what happened in 37. We all know that the reason why we got out of the Great Depression was because of World War II. We don't want to have something that extreme.
No, we don't. Jim. No, we do not.
And that's why, I mean, like, you know, a little trust for Bernanke. We have come to the point in this country where we think everybody's involved with the government is just a totally owned by Lloyd Blankfein and Goldman Sachs. I mean, I'm listening to that testimony.
I don't know who's left. It's like even if you're involved in anything that touches money, or anything that touches Washington, you're a bad person.
I'm out there.
And
I'm
the regional bankers are feeling upset about it. You
I know. Look,
them.
I don't even care. I wrote a piece for realmoney.com, street.com, where I said, listen, call me suicidal. I think Geithner's doing a great job. I was a very big critic of Geithner.
Yes.
I am embarrassed by the way that they treated him today. This is a man who did, along with Bernanke, save Western world capital. Have people forgotten what it was like during those moments when Paulson, who also got religion, pushed for TARP? Do they not know that we were about to be in a barter economy?
There was a day when Hank got on his knees in front of Nancy Pelosi. There was a day. Well, and that should make people understand today, the circumstances.
You know, the New York Times did a series of stories about AIG and Goldman. They never talk about how much AIG bailed out the European banks.
Right.
This is a uniquely focused on what the New York Times reported. All these guys want to score points. Tim Geithner is doing a good job. Again, is that terrible to say? Can't we just come out here occasionally? Can't I, as a commentator, and say, you know what?
I'm impressed
by what Geithner did.
But get a bodyguard.
I already have one. And I feel strongly that Geithner, this is AIG, AIG, Goldman, Goldman. And you know what? The Bavarian Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, and the Queen of England are not all bad.
Wow. All right, we got to squeeze a couple of things.
Sure.
All right, got it. Listen, did you hear her? Wow. She goes, wow. She doesn't go, what are you talking? Wow. Okay, we got to think of a. She just moves right forward. All right, we're going to get to your calls in a moment, but I said I'd go after Michael Shermer of Skeptic Magazine, and I meant it. Rebutting again the 9/11 truthers like unsinkable rubber duckies every time you push down the fatuous arguments of the 9/11 truthers who believe that the U.S. government was complicit in the attacks of that fateful day in September. They just pop back up in a response to my blog here. 9/11 truthers foiled by 1225 attack. And by the way, we covered that story. We covered his lies. And then, of course, the Christmas bombing has all the earmarks of a false flag terror attack. We've proven it. The witnesses have been vindicated in the mainstream media, in the bottoms of the stories, in the backs of the papers. But that doesn't matter to Michael Shermer because he's total scum. This guy knows what he's doing, folks. I promise you that. Let's see what we're going. The belief that a handful of unexplained anomalies can undermine a well-established theory lies at the heart of all conspiratorial thinking. A well-established theory. Well, they don't have a well-established theory in regards to 9/11. They all admit to being liars. Liars. Look, when the chairs of the commission, who are total filth, Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, cover-up artists beyond your comprehension out there, folks, get together, write a book called Without Precedent, and say, oh, well, we thought about, you know, maybe throwing out a couple different indictments over to NORAD and others because they lied to us. No big deal. No big deal. But they say it was just so far from the truth, we couldn't believe it. Farmer says he was lied to. Many of the other 9/11 commissioners admit to being lied to. Cleland left the commission because he knew that the whole thing was a scam. It's in Fabled Enemies. Okay? So this guy says, oh, a few unexplained anomalies. Now, I want to hit a couple of these unexplained anomalies. Let's see. Because this one is just, it completely makes me sick. All right, he talks about the collapse of the Twin Towers. He says, claim one, the collapse of the Twin Towers looked exactly like controlled demolitions. I was going through B-roll for Invisible Empire today, and that's what they were saying on the news time and time again, sometimes showing controlled demolitions. And then he goes, no, they did not. The key to any demolition investigation is finding out where the actual point of the building failed. All photographic evidence shows the World Trade Center building 1 and 2 failed at the point of impact. Actual implosion demolitions always start at the bottom floors. Not true. In fact, type it in, Ryan, top-down demolition. Type in top-down demolition on the YouTube. We'll find two or three examples of top-down demolition. So this guy, off the bat, total lie, says that top-down demolition doesn't exist. A lie. But they fell right into their own footprint. They did not. They followed the path of least resistance, and there was a lot of resistance. That is false. The path of least resistance, folks, would have been to the left side, to the right side, and downwards, not through. They followed the path of most resistance through a steel-reinforced core. I mean, I want to puke in my mouth when I read this crap. Show it again. Show the top-down demolition again, because people didn't see it. Show it again. This is only a three-story building, but it's pop, pop, pop from the top down. Pop, pop, pop. That's exactly what the World Trade Center looked like. Explosive charges are seen shooting from several floors just prior to the collapse. And then this guy has the nerve to say, no, air and debris can be seen violently ejected from the building, a natural and predictable effect of rapid structure collapse. Folks, 60, 40, 20 stories below the supposed pancake collapse, you can see concentrated blast points in the video, and they want to say it's compression from air. Witnesses heard explosions. All seismic evidence from many independent sources on 9/11 showed none of the sudden vibration spikes that result from explosive detonations. Not true. There were spikes in the actual data. It's covered in Loose Change Second Edition. And then they went and they interviewed the guy and he said, well, the spikes did occur, but that doesn't indicate that these things actually mean explosives. Please don't print my name. Here's another one. A heat-generating explosive thermite melted steel at ground zero. To a man, demolition workers did not encounter molten steel, cut beams, or any evidence of explosions. Claims of detected traces of thermite are at this time inconclusive. Now, listen, what I'm – and you're watching top-down demolitions as I'm talking about this. See, top-down demolitions do exist, and there were people – there's one right there. Yeah, another top-down demolition. It's unbelievable to me the lies that these people put out. And the ignorance of the general public that reads this and thinks that this guy is telling the truth. Now, here he says, to a man, demolition workers do not report encountering molten steel, cut beams, or any evidence of explosions. Total lies. You know what? I'm going to get a USB thing because I need you to see this guy who was in the lobby of the World Trade Center. Okay, the lobby of the World Trade Center gets blown over by an explosion, just totally burned 30% of his body. But they say there's no explosions on those floors. We have all the video evidence. We have all the eyewitnesses. We have videos of top-down implosions. We're playing again and again and again. And coming up, we're going to play the section of Loose Change Final Cut where you can hear them talk about the molten metal. But before we do that, I want people to check out the InfoWarrior.com. We're going to bring this up on screen for you. And this is called This Is What I'm Talking About. Now, on the 7th anniversary of 9/11, I went down to New York City and I was confronted by one of these punk debunkers. And he starts taping me. And the only thing that he thinks that he has over on me after we talk, bring up the actual, I want to show him the dead YouTube article first. All right. So the only thing that he thinks he can get me on was I was talking about the head of FEMA in New York saying that there were temperatures of 2,700 degrees at the World Trade Center. It doesn't matter that I have Pataki talking about 2,000 degree temperature, Giuliani talking about 2,000 degree plus temperature. So he picks this little thing. He thinks he's got me looking all stupid. I can't source the article, right? No, I can source the article. I didn't even find this article on the internet. I was going through New York news days from the days and weeks after the attacks, and I clipped this myself. Okay, the headline is Experts, the only way to ID many victims. Now, if you scroll down on this, you will find out that the head of FEMA in New York, James Baker Sky, says that there are temperatures at the World Trade Center of 2,700 degrees. 2,700 degrees. That's not an anomaly that can be explained away by anything but controlled demolition. And he won't touch it. He'll say Jason Burmes is a liar. So like I said, we are going to come back maybe at the top of the next hour and we're going to play the clips of the firefighters, the head of the FEMA investigation, the initial one, Ken Holden, the FEMA, talking about molten metal dripping from buildings six and somewhere else. I think it's molten metal from building six. But there was molten metal at that site. You better believe it, folks. This guy, it sickens me every time they do one of these hit pieces, one of these specials. He's so smug. He's so smug. Look, Claymate, steel frame buildings do not collapse due to fire. And then his answer is many steel frame buildings have collapsed due to fire. He doesn't cite one of them. This is writing for morons, folks. Writing for morons. 2,700 degrees. It's right in front of you. Let me read it for you. What they're looking at these items that are being recovered now are pieces, Baker Sky said. Look, this is a 110-story building. We're still at the top levels. You are probably going to find body parts or nothing because of fire, of the blast. When you're talking about temperatures of 2,700 degrees, what do you have? You have a cremation effect. Exactly. And those were the temperatures. They don't want to talk about the NASA photographs. They don't want to talk about the eyewitness accounts. They don't want to talk about the plethora of other evidence outside of controlled demolition because they know that the general populace out there has been so brainwashed to think that the idea of controlled demolition at the World Trade Center is something for kooks and conspiracy theorists. So they love to just play on that one thing, say they have facts when they have nothing. They have nothing. They do experiments where they dump regular thermite in a controlled environment onto metal and it doesn't cut the beam in half. Well, you didn't rig it to cut the beam in half. Just an unbelievable amount of lies by the mainstream media. We'll be back after this, taking your calls and much, much more. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burgess. And then I'm going to get back on my Shermer debunking. I mean, it's just so shoddy. There's no such thing as a top-down demolition. There was no molten metal at the World Trade Center. You know, and that's why I can't stand reading things like 9/11 voodoo histories. Where's that one? That one was even more disgusting, in my opinion. I mean, come on. Here it is right here. Debunking conspiracy theories in voodoo histories. This guy in this article, folks, actually says he debunks the Reichstag fire. He says that the Reichstag fire wasn't a false flag event. You know you're reading propaganda when they can't own up to Hitler and his men actually burning down their parliamentary building when false flag terror was, I mean, it was like peas and carrots to these guys. Give me a break. Aaronovich says that in researching his book, he discovered that the Reichstag was set on fire by the single man who said he did it, said all the way through the trial he was the only person who did it, and went to his execution saying that he didn't understand why everyone was trying to say it was the Nazis or the communists. A half-retarded man found drunk outside, and the whole thing is ablaze. One guy. One drunk retard to rule them all, folks. Give me a break. But that's the kind of crap that passes for mainstream media. Let's go to, who do we got on the line? Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on the air, sir.
Great job, Jason. Hey, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth is now up to 1,024 members calling for a new investigation, signing the petition, asking Congress for demanding a new investigation. What I called about is that Weird Change Tampa this past Friday attended the Beck and O'Reilly Fresh and Bold tour, not to be confused with a Stale and Weak tour, but we're also be confronting the General Petraeus and Condi Rice Wednesday for Petraeus and in Sarasota in a couple weeks for Condi Rice. But I wanted to ask first off, what would you suggest? What has Petraeus done that's so awful other than
I'll tell you what I would ask Petraeus right now. Listen, you get to Petraeus, you say, sir, you know, with all due respect, how are we supposed to win a war in Afghanistan with the Central Intelligence Agency dealing and funding the lead opium dealer, Karzai's brother, for the last 8 years? Sir, it's superseded two administrations. How are we going to stop this? Act like his friend. See what let's see what he says. Let's see if he actually, well, that doesn't really happen. Then pull out the New York Times article. I mean, that one's easy to print off. I would definitely ask about that opium trade. There's no other reason other than the oil pipeline that we're in Afghanistan. The black opium market is worth billions and billions of dollars. It's maybe the best game in town for these criminals that aren't lucky enough to be the banksters, Chris.
Yeah, it is by invitation only. And, you know, so I'm just going to hold up a sign to that effect. That, thanks for reminding me about that. I almost forgot it is so much about the drugs as well as the oil. But, you know, I want to also encourage people to join us. Go to meetup.com and check out We Are Change Tampa, and also check out the 912 group. It's really interesting. A lot of the people that we met were awake, and even though they have actually paid for their attendance. But, you know, what I'm getting from a lot of them is that, you know, while they'll embrace Alex's documentaries like Paul the Republic and Obama Deception, they like to say that Glenn Beck is so great because he's so pious, number one, in my opinion. Number two, because he has more of an audience, they say. He's therefore more heroic because he reveals just a few of these great truths despite the fact
he has more of an audience by design. The establishment likes somebody that they can keep under their control, and they love somebody that will talk to the general populace as though they're children drawing on a chalkboard. They dig that. We'll be back after this. It's the Info War with Jason Vermes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. People's hands right now, and I'll, you know, by the hand, I'm gonna drag you into 9/11 truth. If you're just listening to this show because maybe you came across the Obama deception or Fall of the Republic, you've been listening to Alex for a couple months, you're a little sketchy on 9/11 truth. Oh, they would never do that. No, I can't imagine it. Look, there was molten metal at the scene of the World Trade Center, and they refused to actually identify that there was molten metal. When people like Shermer get on there, when people on the History Channel make a documentary, when people over at the BBC are ready to bamboozle the world. But for the bargain basement price of only $5 at InfoWars.com, you can get Loose Change Final Cut, which goes over this and much, much more, or watch it for free on YouTube. We're going to pull the YouTube clip right now concerning the molten metal. Hit the clip.
An atmospheric jet fuel fire.
I'm curious about the pool of molten steel that was found in the bottom of the towers.
I am too.
And
just tell me about it. Have you seen it?
Well, not personally, but eyewitnesses there found huge poles of molten steel beneath the towers. And some scientists don't think that the collapse of the building could have melted all that steel.
First of all, let's go back to your basic premise that there was a pool of molten steel. I know of absolutely nobody, and no eyewitness who said so, nobody who's produced it. I was on the site, I was on the steel yards, so I don't know that that's so.
You'd get down below and you'd see molten steel. Molten steel running down the channel rails. Like you're in a foundry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like lava from a volcano.
Underground, it was still so hot that molten metal dripped down the sides of a wall from Building 6.
However, they do hit hot spots occasionally, and everything stops.
There were fires of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit below the ground.
I don't know that that's so.
There's video of it.
It's melted around 2,600 degrees Fahrenheit. I think it's probably pretty difficult to get that kind of temperatures in a fire.
Well, NASA pictures, thermal images showed those sorts of temperatures in the basement.
Would you send them to me?
Okay.
My name is Mark, and I'm the individual who was questioning Dr. Gross, and he asked me to email to him those thermal images. When I approached him after his talk to get his email address for that purpose, he refused to provide it to me. I think this is important because it reveals the attitude of the NIST investigators, which is one of willful ignorance of what really happened on 9/11.
All right, let's pull the clip right there. And right there, actually pause it right there as I talk. I play it with no audio, because right now we're going to show you molten metal pouring from the World Trade Center. You see, the molten metal was actually pouring because one of their either thermite devices or whatever they used to actually cut the steel went off before they wanted it to. You can see it pouring down like a foundry. And again, there was Ken Holden. There were firefighters right there. You can see the molten metal on video. This is poor quality, so you can't see it as well. And right there is the base smoking. Right before the collapse, the base starts smoking. Give me a break. I mean, why? And there you can see the blast points. It boggles my mind. And 9/11 was just invoked by the president a couple weeks ago in one of his speeches. We live in a post 9/11 world. We're going to be in Afghanistan. We're going to be in Iraq. We might take over Yemen. Watch out, Iran. This is the world we live in. And it's not in the news anymore. No one even seems to care that American soldiers are dying every day overseas for a lie. We've come to accept it. It's just another part of American apathy at this point. Why? Because we have a black Democratic president in? Is that why we can't do anything anymore? Give me a break. We'll be back after this, taking your calls and much more. It's the Info Warrior. Jason Burmis, loaded phone line. So we're going to go to the calls in just one moment. But I did bring over this clip that was in my archives from 9/11, 9/12, 9/13 from the major networks. Now, the gentleman you're about to see or hear, if you're just listening and not watching PrisonPlanet.tv, is he was a security officer at the World Trade Center. Now, he was in the lobby. Let me repeat this. He was in the lobby during the attacks. But anybody who's really studied 9/11 knows that there were explosions in the basement level and the lobby prior, let me hear it again, prior to the plane hitting the building. I know that's a shock to some people, but ask Willie Rodriguez. Go to the extras in Fabled Enemies where we have his supervisor, Anthony Santalamacia, talking about the same exact thing. And let me show you what a victim looks like of one of these explosions. Doesn't matter that it was on NBC. Doesn't matter that it's mainstream news. Jason Burmis made him say it, folks. Hit the clip.
Ken Reeves, a security supervisor for a financial firm in the Trade Center, burned over 30% of his body. His wife, Jewel, and his 7-year-old son, Brighton, at his bedside today. He says thoughts of them helped him save himself.
Explosion came right through the window and broke the window and it knocked me down and I was in, but when I opened my eyes, I was right there in between the fire. I just saw my son's face and just got up, yelled, and ran.
Reeves is one of the lucky.
All right, so now the lobby level also had huge marble panels blown off the wall, but no burn marks. And they tried to say that this was a fireball that went down through the shaft of the World Trade Center. Doesn't matter that it was stuttered. It had three different elevator levels. That's how it worked. Okay, it was hermetically sealed. That would have been impossible. This is one of the guys that got blown up in the lobby. Thank God he survived. All right, let's take the calls. Let's drive through them. Bobby in Illinois. Bobby, you're on the line. Yes, sir. Bobby once. Bobby twice. You there, Bobby? All right, done. Let's go to Cody in Arizona. Cody, you're on the line. Cody. Hello.
Signing statement from the president, and this is obviously a garden plot, and I'm just kind of curious if you made that connection, too.
I only heard half your question. What signing statement?
I was going over the latest signing statement from President Obama about the 10 regional governors, and This is obviously a garden plot, and I wanted to know if you made that connection.
What it is they are trying to federalize governors. They're trying to recruit people that will basically take away states' rights and ensure that federal programs, no matter how tyrannical, will be able to be driven through. No matter what the people want, these governors will ensure that federal operations will go on there and there will be little to no resistance. So, yeah, he's basically just trying to get rid of states' rights. He's trying to further erode what used to be a constitutional republic.
Exactly. And, hey, have you heard about this thing that came out of the White House September? It was basically a request for Russian forces to be used inside the continental United States. And this was a request that was put out by whoever was in power.
I'm not sure what it is, but I'd have to check it out. Go post it over on my Facebook, facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. I'm at my limit of 5,000 friends, but people drop out every day. I got about 400, 500 waiting. But I do pull people, and you can always send it to me through my posting it on my wall, but send me a message, and I always check out the messages, especially the news tips. Appreciate the call. Let's go to –
Thanks, Jason.
You got it. I think we're on Sean in Texas. Am I wrong? Sean in Texas? Sean, you're online.
Hi, yes, Jason. Sir. I want to thank you for all the work you've done and remind people that the scanners and all the modern technology stuff does nothing to stopping these imaginary terrorists and false flag attacks as the people, the passengers, do. You know, it was the passengers that put out the fire, and it was the dog that sniffed the bomb on the second individual as opposed to them running them back through a body scanner. And, their hand was kind of tied and forced when a witness from Germany emailed Kurt Haskell saying that she didn't want to come forward, but she had seen the other sharp-dressed man. And it was shortly after him saying that he had made contact with her that they felt like, you know, they had to change their story and present an excuse for that sharp-dressed individual putting him on board.
Well, you know, again, if you go to Infowars.com, we have the latest on that. And let me read some of the article here. And this is from Kurt Haskell himself. Since our flight landed on Christmas Day, Lori and I have been doing everything in our power to uncover the truth about why we were almost blown up in the air over Detroit. The truth is now finally out there in this publication of the following Detroit News article. Let me quote from the article. Patrick F. Kennedy, an undersecretary for management at the State Department, said Abdul Mulatab's visa wasn't taken away because intelligence officials asked his agency not to deny a visa to the suspected terrorist over concerns that a denial would foil a larger investigation into al-Qaeda threats against the United States. Revocation action would have disclosed what they were doing. So in other words, they can't even talk about what was going on. Was it an operation? Sure looks like it was an operation because they're still not outing who this sharp-dressed individual is. They're still not admitting that somebody was actually taping the event 4 or 5 rows back, and it took them over a month to admit, yes, there was a second person who was detained, all of which has been detailed by the Haskells and other eyewitnesses over a month ago. I thank you for the call, Sean. Let's jump to our next caller, Ken, in Washington. Ken, you're online.
Yeah, hey. I wanted to address the towers coming down. One of the things that I never hear anybody really accurately describe, they always get in the argument of whether it was top-down or that it was top-down. And you know, the common perception is that demolitions, controlled demolitions, are bottom-up. Mm-hmm. But the real fact is the Twin Towers were a combination, more than likely. Think about it. You know, the explosions that happened before the planes hit. Mm-hmm. Basically, they were taking out the central columns from the bottom up, and it wasn't until later that the weak point started to fail, and then they did the
top-down part,
top
yeah.
Down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? In Loose Change Final Cut, we actually do show
– pulled it down.
Well, in Loose Change Final Cut, we actually do show just prior to the building coming down, and it was following that molten metal point, smoke rising from the building, a large smokestack, which also indicates controlled demolition. So I thank you for the call, Ken. Good observations. Let's go to Humanity Soldier in California. Humanity Soldier, you are on the air.
Good afternoon or evening, Jason. A couple things. Most people don't realize that in 1946, an Army Air Force bomber flew into the Empire State Building, and it did not fall.
It was 1952. It was 1952, and let me tell people about it. For those that don't know, it was a B-25 bomber, and although it was not as big as, say, a 747 or 757, in relation to the size of the Empire State Building, again, 1952, this happened, this B-25 hit it, it was extremely large. Yes, the building did not collapse, and you can see video of this in both Loose Change Second Edition and Loose Change Final Cut. Go ahead, Humanity Soldier.
Also, the security company that had complete and total security over the whole World Trade Center was Securicom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
Securicom, also known as Stratasec later on, because Securicom gave up some of their holdings, but it doesn't matter because it is a Jeb Bush company, and that same company also ran security at, I believe, both Boston and Dulles Airport. Continue, Humanity Soldier.
But it's not Jeb Bush's company. It was Marvin Bush's company.
That's right. You're right. My bad. You caught me on that one. Correct. Go ahead.
And the second person in charge was Burt Walker, who is President W's cousin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, not only that, I mean, look at all these connections. Bin Laden, a CIA front man in the 80s in Afghanistan. I have headlines from CNN, which will be included in Invisible Empire, where they admit that the BCCI banking firm, the big drug-dealing terror-funding bank, was not only used by the CIA, but used by the CIA to fund guess who? Osama bin Laden. The night before the attacks, he's getting kidney dialysis treatment in an ISI hospital in Pakistan. Go ahead. Finish up, Humanity Soldier.
But he also met on July 4th of 01, between July 4th and July 14th, with the bureau chief of the CIA in the Middle East at the American hospital in Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been reported by that's been reported on by foreign media. I'm trying to think, something or other. Le Figueroa reported that, and some other foreign media, and I seem to believe it, man. I mean, you look at all the other connections that this guy has to U.S. and Western intelligence, it's almost a no-brainer. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. How's it going? I just wanted to say that in a lot of the commercials that they're going out on the air, it says we're going to repeat history. But, you know, nowhere in history, you know, if these big bankers actually make it, nowhere in history have they ever had world domination. And, you know, the fear that I see is that once they have complete control of the entire world, you know, they'll be able to come in here like gangbusters everywhere, and you'll never be able to have a private moment and rest your life.
Well, we're already on the road to that. When you're in London, you're photographed 300 times a day. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you that throughout history we have never felt the pressure of a oligarchical technopoly, because that's what it is. You know, he likes to talk about, you know, corporations. It's more than a corporate monopoly. It's more than a technological slave state grid. It really is a technopoly where the same people that will give you currency, will allow you to live in a country, also control the military. And we're going to talk about that on the other side. I appreciate your call. We're going to take your calls to the Info Warrior back after this.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain. And no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now, until the end.
I love that. That's some good stuff right there.
Tonight's the test.
All right. Let's keep taking some calls. We got a special guest coming up at the next segment. He's a buddy of mine from back home, and just police state measures coming right at you. Gets pulled over at the thruway by the toll person, told to pull to the side of the road. The police come over. They say, "You on the drugs, boy? You on the drugs?" Like, "No, I'm not on any drugs." Passes the sobriety test. They're not convinced. They haven't found anything in his car, so what are they going to do? Well, let's impound it and demand blood and urine. That's the new America, folks. All right, let's continue with the callers. Mike in Iowa. Mike, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. Thanks. I just wanted to plug E. cola Blue for starters and talk about Willie Rodriguez a little bit. But Tyson, he called me from E. cola Blue is filling up an order, that getting the filters from my other two I bought so far and getting ready to buy a third.
Excellent.
And we were discussing, because I grew up during the 60s in elementary school, and I had my best friend, had an uncle at NASA, totally turned on to science. And what E. cola Blue does is that I can get DVDs to people and open their minds up about science when they look at the cola Blue with the percentage of humidity, and that makes hot and cold water, their mouths are literally open every time.
Yeah, no, it's the coolest thing, and it tastes delicious, too. We got two of them in the office. It's my favorite.
Right, and I say, hey, you know about humidity in the air, and there's water in the air? And they go, no. And hey, you got to check out these DVDs. And there you go.
And that's a good way to do it.
And then a few of them will say, hey, man, I believe in those conspiracies. I believe in them. But you open that door up there, and they open their science side.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, no, people don't understand how cool the E. cola Blue really is, because it'll make up to 7, I think the newest model makes even up to 10 gallons of water in a day. I couldn't drink all of it. I mean, not that I'm drinking 7 or 8 gallons of water a day, but it does taste delicious, and it pulls it right out of the air, so you don't need a faucet or a water source. It is one of the coolest things out there. I thank you for the call, Mike. And before I go to another call, I almost forgot that I wanted to talk a little bit about today's Technopoly. You see, it's ever encroaching. And let me give you some examples. We're now getting ready for drones here in the United States and the United Kingdom to fight crime. Now, they're already used in the Middle East to fight terror. You know what fighting terror means? Killing innocent civilians from the sky with a press of a button. And we'll see that come here eventually. Eventually, a drone may become judge, jury, and executioner. One of the other big scams that I'm seeing on television, which is totally and completely disgusting, are these OnStar systems. Now, my brother, who may not be the best on credit sometimes, he got one of these cars from one of these loan shark dealers with the OnStar system. So when he didn't pay the payment and he was a day late, they would just lock him out of the car. You can't start the car. But now they're using it for law enforcement. So if someone steals your car, they'll just stop the engine. Sounds great, right? Well, it sounds great until you're the criminal, you're the terrorist, you're trying to get away from the state, and they just shut your car off. That's the technopoly that we have never seen. And the elite are going to wield these powers. That's why they want a chipped populace. I wish they didn't want to stick a chip in you. But there is an entire section coming up in Invisible Empire where we show you that it's never been easier to chip yourself. You can order an RFID tag online, a little microchip for around $10, with the kit to inject it into your body, and then you can program it any which way. It takes about 2 minutes to actually do the procedure, and that's it. You can watch the YouTube tutorials. All right, one caller before we go to break. Nate in Canada. Nate, you're on the line.
What
yes,
up,
sir.
Mastodon?
Hey, yo, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually, ask a couple of questions about 9/11. But first, I just want to say you guys are really opening up some minds with InfoWars. You're not just opening up minds. Once you give people the truth, you're turning people into humans. Because I mean, you guys, you know, I was a completely different person, you know, compared to what I am today a couple of years ago until I started getting on the show. But what I wanted to say was, for the music industry, I just watched a crazy, I just want to plug this website because I just found this series called The Industry Exposed. It was crazy. I mean, it goes and tears it apart. But
I actually watched a little bit of the industry earlier today, and I've been seeing a lot of people post. Quick, get in that question because I got a guest coming up. I'll answer it on the other side. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a buddy over here, and he was watching some 9/11 conspiracies with me. He was watching Loose Change. I showed him that. Mm-hmm. And what he said was, what about the insurance company on those buildings? Wouldn't they want to prove that they don't have to pay that money?
All right, we'll come back and I'll answer that question on the other side. We'll be back after this in the Info Warrior.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. Starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's
going on. All right, folks, we are
stop.
Back.
Hey, what's that sound?
If you're on the line, stay on hold. We'll get to your calls a little later.
Stop.
But right now we have a buddy of mine from New York on the line, Christopher Quackenbush, getting off the thruway. He's coming off the thruway. All of a sudden, the toll booth person says, "Hey, pull over to the side of the road. The police want to pull you over." They can't come over. They say, "Hey, do you have drugs or guns in the car?" He's like, "No, I don't have any drugs or guns in the car." They take him out of the car. They thoroughly search his vehicle. They don't find anything. They start accusing him of being on crystal meth and all these other drugs. He passes the sobriety test. They still take him down to the office, impound his vehicle, and then demand blood and urine, folks. This is the new America. So we're going to go step by step with Christopher Quackenbush. Chris, just tell people what you were doing that day and where you were coming from.
Well, basically, you know, I was Sunday morning, it was like 11:30 when I actually got pulled over, but I was coming back from the city, and basically, what you just said, you know, I was coming through, his excuse was that I blew through a yield sign, you know, and he had somebody pulled over right beyond the yield sign, and I saw him, and I made the judgment, and I thought it was fine, so I went. So surprised that I was even getting pulled over to begin with, but what even surprised me even more was, you know, he spent about 20 seconds on the yield sign and went straight to the, "Where's the drugs? Where's the guns?" and all that kind of talk. And, you know, it wasn't long, you know, only seconds later, and I'm out in front of the vehicle. And, you know, it's crazy because I've dealt with cops before, and they usually will have you, like, empty your pockets. He went straight into my pocket, and while he was asking me, like, tons of questions and stuff, like, you know, I was surprised. Right in my front pocket, he was grabbing things out, and, you know, it was just ridiculous. And, you know, I did all the field tests, like you said, and then basically, you know, he goes, "You're under arrest for DWAI drugs." And I was, like, baffled by the whole thing. Actually, let me back up, because what happened was he went radioed in, and two more SUVs came up. So now there was three New York State troopers on the scene. They're repeatedly doing the finger thing, whatever that you know what I'm talking about. You know, they kept doing that to me, and they were cracking all these jokes. I kind of thought they were on drugs the way they were acting. It was really
no, they
surprising.
Think it's a big joke. It's very funny when someone's about to have their livelihood messed with, man. It's a big joke to them. And I want to explain this to people. They take you into custody. They impound your car. Now, have you been able to see these videotapes of you doing the sobriety test? Are they out there? I hope you're demanding them.
No. You know, what I hear about up here is the way they handle it. They don't really deal with videotapes. I don't know.
So they're telling you that the videotapes, their dash cam videos, don't even exist.
No, we don't even have any footage of anything. I wish we did, because I basically moonwalked through other stuff. It was so, you know, and he failed me on everything that I did. That's what was surprised. It was so funny. He said that you're supposed to lift your foot up 6 inches, and said you lifted your foot up over 6 inches. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. Then they get me down, and they want blood and urine, and that's where I just drew the line, you know. I was like, you know what? And, you know, I was kind of intoxicated in emotions, to tell you the truth. I was mad, angry, cold. You know, when I finally got to a point where I actually could say no to something, I just, you know, and now the ramifications for that are crazy. I'm going to lose my license for a year. I don't even
know. Tell people, let's go through what this actually means for you. Because while it's fun and games for them, you know, you got to feed yourself, you got to pay bills, you got to get to work. And now they want to take your license away because you refused to submit to their slave state ideals of taking blood and urine. They are saying you need to lawyer up and lawyer up quick and say, look, if you're going to charge me with DWAI and you didn't want to give me a breathalyzer, and from our previous conversation, they were saying things like, what are you smoking, crystal meth? I mean, that is outlandish to me. I mean, are you on crystal meth?
My arms for tracks, for needles, and it was funny too, because I carry around these, like, those little dent picks with the little white plastic picks with the brushes, and I had this, like, big case of them, and I swear he spent like 10 minutes on these picks. He's like, so what are you doing with the picks? He's acting like I'm dipping them in acid, and just all this ridiculous stuff. You know, it was like you said, it was a game. They were playing with my iPod. They had all my clothes, all my stuff from the weekend, my travel bag. They had it all over my car. People were all going by all slow. And here's another thing that just developed with it. Because I'm a
healthcare, because I'm in the healthcare field, the Department of Health was notified of my arrest, and I was called into my job by the owners, and they told me, look, you know, we got this notification that you were instead of right on the, I was so embarrassed. Like the boss who really likes me a lot sees this DWAI drugs. I'm like turning red in his office. And basically what's going to happen is depending on the outcome of, you know, the trial or whatever, you know, I could wind up losing my job over this, you know? So I don't think it'll come. I hope it won't come. It's just really sad. You know what I mean? To see how much power, you know, these people have, and they're able to just microanalyze your life. You know, and it's just getting more ridiculous as time goes on, you know?
Absolutely. I want to go over this again. And if there's any listener out there that can help Chris, we're going to give out an email, or you can contact me on my Facebook or my MySpace, and we'll try to get you in touch. But the police are claiming that Chris was intoxicated. They can't provide, although there were three police vehicles there, they can't provide one dashboard cam. Okay? He refuses to take the blood and urine test because it's outlandish. It's ridiculous. He passed the sobriety test. He wasn't pulled over for speeding. He wasn't swerving. He wasn't driving recklessly. This wasn't nighttime. It was in the middle of the day. It wasn't even noon yet. And these guys are having a party while they're really costing somebody's livelihood. So do you have an email address, Chris?
Yeah, actually, it's music. It's Zill, M-U-Z as in zebra, I-C-I-V-I-L-L at Yahoo.
Mm-hmm. Give it one more time for the listeners. One more time.
M-U-Z-I-C-I-V-I-L-L at Yahoo.com.
And I'm really imploring any of the listeners that can help out, just maybe by giving advice or filing something for Chris to really help him out. Because when we live in a state where you don't really have redress of grievances, when you can't face your accusers, what are we fighting for? What's left of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights, of the late, great United States of America? And if this can happen to somebody coming off the thruway, leaving the city, somebody who works, what do you work, like 40 to 60 hours a week? I know in your field, you have to work. Yeah, 40 to 60 hours a week just to get by. You know, this isn't some homeowner. This isn't some banker. This is somebody who's just trying to live, trying to be able to pay the bills of an apartment, trying to pay car insurance. And I can relate to that. That's what I'm trying to do every month, keep my head above water while these people take more and more and the slave state becomes more and more apparent. You know, I was talking to my brother before I talked to you. He called me up about the situation, and he's talking about how there are cameras going up on the streets of Johnstown, all over the corners there.
Yeah, it's crazy. The whole thing's just getting more and more robotic, the way these people act and treat. There's just no, you know, it's either all negative emotions or none at all type of thing. It's just, it's crazy that you can't even, you know, I mean, the whole idea of it, it's supposed to be to serve and protect, but it's really, it's farther from that. And I'm not trying to take away, I'm sure there's probably some good police officers and stuff out there, but when it's so far and few in between, it's like, how do you, you know, it's like...
Yeah, no, I mean, there are obviously good police officers out there, and I'm not trying to paint the picture that every cop in the world is bad. But again, when you get pulled over with no probable cause, the conversation immediately moves from why did you blow that yield sign into are you on heroin? Let me see your arms for track marks. Are you smoking crystal meth? And then they want to start talking about toothpicks. I mean, literal dental floss toothpicks, as though that's now contraband. That's some kind of drug paraphernalia, is over the top. Over the top, man. Tell me some of the things they had you do. The walk in the straight line, probably the alphabet, the hold your foot up.
They had me do the alphabet, and he just told me to say the alphabet, not backwards or anything like that. And when I finished it, he was like, I told you to stop T. And I was like, okay. He totally never said that because I was paying very well attention. And he had me do another thing that the only thing I could think of, I think that might have made him mad, and I wasn't really trying to make him mad, but there's that one thing where they do the 10 steps and then you do the little swivel thing, whatever. And I didn't really understand like the terminology and like the way he was doing the thing, and I just wanted to do it well. So I had him do it a couple times, and then, like, he did it once, And I was like, sir, could you just show me that again? And then, you know, he did it again. And then but that little turn, I don't understand. So he did it like three times. And like the third time, he was like, oh. And I was like, oh, man, I hope I didn't just like hurt his ego or something, because he made this like crazy
No, you shouldn't noise. Challenge the gods, Chris. You start challenging the Lord officers, the men with the guns, and then bad things happen to you.
And it's so crazy too, because the lawyers I've talked to so far, it's like they're only like a one step away from being as crazy as they are, because they told me they're all, you're so stupid, why would you just not give your blood and your urine and all this stuff, and like, no, you don't say nothing, you have no rights, don't you understand that, and da-da-da. Then you start talking about your rights and this and that with these people, and then that's it, you know.
You got to understand, most of these lawyers are having lunch with the prosecutors and the attorney general, you know, they're all in that close-knit group. You have to find a specialized attorney, somebody who deals in First Amendment rights, somebody that actually has read the Constitution and Bill of Rights and doesn't think that, you know, FEMA and these MIAC reports that are coming out demonizing people, he's got a pocket constitution, might be a terrorist, Chris. I mean, that's the reality we live in for some reason. I wish that wasn't the reality we live in. But when we had the mayor of Schenectady say that he might be for martial law. Is there any, you know, you're from the area, is there any reason that Schenectady should ever be under martial law, Chris?
Oh my gosh! Of course not, you know. But it's not looking good. I know that.
All right, let's take some calls, my man. Let's see what people have to say out there. Remember, if you can help Chris, get at me on my Facebook. He gave out an email before. You can catch the podcast. By the way, if you forget. If you miss any of the show, you can get the show over at theinfowarrior.com following the program, or go to prisonplanet.tv and get the video. I think we're on – who are we on here? Gary in Washington, guys? Are we on Gary? Let's go to Gary in Washington. Go ahead. You're on the line, Gary.
Jason, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Yeah, listen, I got a couple tidbits of news for you, and then I got a big question for you. Mm-hmm. First piece of news, I just came back in internationally, Toronto Airport. And,
I think I did.
They ask for your ticket four times. They have about 20 people patting people down, searching carry-ons. They tell you to take your second carry-on and return to the airline because you can't carry two carry-ons anymore. Then you get charged $20. Then they put you on a magnetic shoe tester. They take some kind of odd picture of you. I think freedom is over, zombie mania, and the sheep have to wake up. That's one piece of news for you, and I got two other things.
Okay.
Okay. Second one, Barry Sotero Hussein Obama will be visiting New Hampshire on Tuesday, and I think all the info warriors ought to go meet with the media and ask some big questions, including what Big Herbert Walker was up to visiting Obama. And that's a little piece of news. That'll be Tuesday, February 2nd.
Okay. What's third your final thing? Thing?
Mm-hmm. Third thing, big question for you. Alex does an amazing job with the money bomb. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people keep saying, hey, you and Alex have woken us up, but what can we do? What can we do? I have two things I'd ask you. One, can you put information on the names and members and their bios of the New World Order on a page on your website just to describe who these people are, what they're up to? What is the Bilderberg Group? Who are the members today? Mm-hmm. And then part two, could you do a money bomb to start a class action suit to get us that $85,000 per citizen back that was stolen out of our treasury with the fake money, Jason?
Well, you know, about the lawsuit, I think that's going to be something that I don't see Alex Jones wanting to undertake anything law outside the office. Like, it's a big headache. But the idea of profiling who these New World Order criminals are is a great one. And although we don't have individual profiles yet, we've talked about possibly doing a series of 45-minute documentaries, profiles on people like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, the Rothschild family, those things. That has been thrown around. Whether it'll actually get done or not, I mean, we are really small. I think that if you started a website like that, and it was good and it detailed it and it just kept people up to date, you know, we would link to it or we would go to stories on it. So, you know, take the bull by the horns, man. We can't do everything here. I appreciate the call. You know, one of the big things is getting active, is going out in your community. You know, you just talked about Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama. And for those that don't understand that his name is Barry Sotero, You know, I had a clip that we couldn't find. We couldn't play it for some reason like 3 weeks ago where John King goes to his old high school and admits that his name was Barry Sotero on the clip. So there is no doubt the guy is a CIA creation. He's a front man for the same people that were in power under the Bush administration. You know, going back to my guest, Chris, has so much changed after the Obama administration has come? Is this the change that people voted for? Have you seen a change in the way the country is?
Absolutely not. I mean, it just seems like, you know, business as usual, more troops getting sent out, and it's just like another disguise. I mean, I hear even Alex talk about the false left-right paradigm, and once you're able to see through that, it kind of becomes obvious of what you're dealing with.
Absolutely, but being in upstate New York, man, being in upstate New York, there were so many Obama heads. I mean, some people who I thought had a brain on their shoulders, people that had really started to wake up under the Bush administration, really thought that this guy was our Lord and Savior, Chris.
Well, yeah, you know, I feel for those people. You know, it's hard, you know, when conditioned for, you know, so long. It's hard to lose heroes in life, you know what I mean? And that's a hard thing for people to, you know, their life invested in the morals and the things that our country supposedly stands for. And, you know what I mean? And even a lot of times, you can put the truth right in somebody's face, but, you know, whether they're going to be able to grasp it and understand the reality of it is another thing. It's basically... I was very surprised. You know, the whole thing with the Obama thing, I did notice that it was almost like a rock star type of thing. It was such a good distraction.
Well, not only is a rock star thing, but especially in New York, you see like it's a hip hop clothing thing. People are wearing Barack Obama T-shirts. It's not vote for Barack Obama. It's Barack Obama is Rolling Stone. Barack Obama is cool. On the other side, I want to finish up with Chris Quackenbush, who was really persecuted by New York State troopers for no reason other than tyranny. And I get the lowdown on where this is going to go. We'll be back after this. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Vermes. Jason Vermes, final segment with my buddy Chris Quackenbush, who has been really illegally persecuted by the police. If you want to help him out, give me an email over at my Facebook, facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior, myspace.com/JasonVermes. Let me just get a rundown, Chris, on where it goes from here. When's your next court date? You know, I want you to throw out the email again, but what's the process they're telling you at this point?
Basically, the next step is this Wednesday, my first appearance. I'm assuming that's where we'll do the whole guilty, not guilty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my plan is, of course, I'm going to plead not guilty and just ask for a trial and then move forward there and see what happens. Hopefully, I didn't really understand, you know, exactly. It's pretty serious to refuse the test. I guess it's going to be very difficult for me to have a shot at any kind of license once you do that. It's almost like a little mini crime within itself.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, they try to forcibly take your blood and urine and say, if you don't, we're just going to take your license. And it doesn't matter if you weren't on drugs. It doesn't matter if you weren't on PCP, heroin, and crystal meth. We are still going to impound your car, and we're going to proclaim you guilty. And not guilty until proven innocent, just guilty. You can't prove your innocence. So, you know, you've got to demand the dash cam, because the cops will tell you all day until they're blue in the face that there is no dash cam. But once you identify that there were three police vehicles there, one of them had a dash cam. And unfortunately for the police, they do actually store that stuff. That stuff does go to storage. And you've got to demand that. You say, look, I want to see this. I want to see what I look like. I want to show people that I passed these sobriety tests and they had no right to bring me in the first place. And hopefully somebody out there who's a lawyer, who's listening to this program, fan of Alex Jones, fan of Jason Vermes, can help Chris Quackenbush out. Give out your email, Chris.
Hey, it's... M-U-Z-I-C-I-N-G
IZILL at yahoo.com.
Well, man, I'm really hoping for the best. I hope that you can not only get your car back, but after all is said and done, that you can sue the New York State Police Department for damages for taking your car, for trying to get your job, your livelihood taken away from you. And I think it's so important for people to realize that this can happen to anybody at any time. I mean, a week, 2 weeks ago, could you envision this situation, Chris?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, like I said, it went a yield sign to a life-changing situation in less than, you know, an hour. It was just, I don't know, it just blew my mind. I've actually had run-ins with the police as a kid, you know what I mean, where they kind of were like, you know, physically abused and stuff, but this has turned into a whole different thing. Like, they really, I feel kind of like let down and stuff that they really did get at me psychologically, you know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, that test, they put your finger in your face. I can't remember how many times they did that with me. Like, just kept following my finger, like trying to hypnotize you or something. But I don't know. I really thought that they were on some kind of drugs the way they were acting. There was an injured falcon or something across the street, and the one officer comes up and says, like, do you know anything about falcons? Maybe you could help us out with the falcon across the street. And I'm like, thinking, is this a joke or something? They're like, what's going on here? You guys are like playing around with my iPod. He comes over and had this little like cassette tape adapter thing and play my iPod. And he's like, yeah, where'd you get this, man? It's pretty cool. And yeah, it's just really strange. The whole thing was bizarre to me. And I was like perfectly fine, exactly talking how I am now. You know, and it's funny too because it really were like, boy, you really went downhill from this pitcher license. It's like you look like a crystal meth addict or something. It's like, you know, and
who are they to judge how you dress and how you look, Chris? It's unbelievable to me. Look, I'm wishing you the best. I hope we can help you out. We're going to come back, take your calls, and much more. It's the Info War with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Jason Burmes, we're going to take your calls in just a moment, but I want to hit up a little bit of a news blitz here at the top of the hour. Remember, if you missed any of the program, go to InfoWarrior.com following the program and get the free podcast. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get the entire streaming video in WMV format. All right, bankers in favor for paying global fee. Because, you know, if it comes from the bankers, it's got to be delicious and nutritious and for the masses. See, they want a global taxation. They want a global government so they can further consolidate power. Them having 90%+ of the wealth isn't enough for them. They want 99.9999999% so that humanity itself is literally reduced to a pet-like slave state that they poop all over, folks. That's a nice way. They're just pooping all over you while you just revel in the feces. You're like rubbing it on your face. Ah, it feels so good. It's the new skin cream. So bankers in favor of paying global fee. This one's on CNNMoney.com. Foreclosures, new hotspots. The new foreclosure plague is tied more to the economy than bad mortgages. Here are 10 cities where defaults grew the fastest in 2009. And, I guess I only printed a couple of them, but Boise, Idaho, you don't want to be in. You don't want to be in Provo, Utah, and you don't want to be in Las Vegas. You also don't want to be where they're closing down banks, and that is happening all over. This one's out of Washington, Associated Press. Regulators shut down a big bank in California on Friday, along with two banks in Georgia and one in Florida and Minnesota, as well as Washington. That brought Let's see, 15, that brought to 15 the number of bank failures so far in 2010 atop the 140, which we discussed earlier, shuttered in the last year. The failure of Los Angeles-based First Regional Bank with nearly $2.2 billion in assets and $1.9 billion in deposits is expected to cost Federal Deposit Insurance Fund $825.5 million. So the banks continue to go under and everybody acts like, no, everything's okay. Everything's good. Let's see. We'll get to the climate change stuff in a moment. Let's take some more calls. Let's go to John in New York. John, you're on the line. Yes, sir, John.
Following up to comment on a couple of things. I've been listening to you for a little while here, and I think that whole thing in Schenectady, who was that, the sheriff up there?
It was the mayor. It was the mayor of Schenectady.
The mayor. So, all right. So the mayor is saying his police force can't handle anything.
What was happening at the time is that the police force was under rampant investigation because they're essentially a few of them were dealing the drugs and they were covering for. Were criminal. The police force should not be commended, but what they should be is replaced with other police officers. Let's bring in the National Guard. Let's bring in the military and let's have martial law in really a small upstate community, which is a suburb of Albany. I mean, that's all. I mean, when you talk about martial law in Schenectady, it's almost laughable because that's the last place you'd expect to see martial law. Continue, John.
The other thing was that the OnStar being able to shut down the cars, they've had the chip in the car since 96, but they couldn't shut down individual cars in 96. What they could do is shut down a whole block of cars.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they were shutting down in like 2002, 2003, my brother's car. But again, they were advertising it as car dealers could shut down deadbeats. Now they're advertising it to car owners as it's going to stop people from stealing their cars. But again, it's a slippery slope. What happens when you're the criminal? When the police are trying to get you? You've got nowhere to run because they just stopped your car in the middle of the highway. We'll be back after this, taking your calls and much more. It's the InfoWarrior. It's going to go through a little climate change news. Despite the fact that ClimateGate has come out, despite the fact that the emails confirmed that Phil Jones in 2005 sent out an email saying, oh, the globe has been cooling for the last 7 years, and it has, but that's not statistically significant, but we won't have any of the raw source data for anybody to go over because we're big fat liars that are trying to bring in a global tax. No big deal. No big deal. And headline after headline after headline in the months following confirms what we've been saying for years. Climate chief was told of false glacier claims before Copenhagen. The chairman of the leading climate change watchdog was informed that claims about melting Himalayan glaciers were false before the Copenhagen summit. The Times has learned. See, there are no glaciers in the Himalayas that are melting. And they damn well knew it, and they still went over there and propagated lies. Here's another one. UN climate change panel based claims, are you, get ready for this, on student dissertation and magazine article. No science, no raw data. Some kid writes a dissertation and gets published, and we'll use that as the evidence. I mean, come on. In its most recent report, it stated that observed reductions in mountains of ice in the Andes, Alps, and Africa was being caused by global warming, citing two papers as the source of their information. However, it can be revealed that one of the sources quoted was a feature article published in a popular magazine for climbers, which was based on anecdotal evidence for mountaineers about the changes they were witnessing on the mountainsides around them. The other was a dissertation written by a geography student studying the equivalent of a master's degree at the University of Bern in Switzerland that quoted interviews with mountain guides in the Alps. See, no scientific data was used. Zero scientific data was used, but we'll still say the glaciers are melting and we need to tax you for it. Let's continue because we're not done yet. There's more. Stern report was changed after being published. Information was quietly removed from an influential government report on the cost of climate change after its initial publication because supporting scientific evidence could not be found. They can't find the science to prove their bull shenanigans. Unbelievable. The Stern Review on the Economics of Climate Change, which was commissioned by the Treasury, was greeted with headlines worldwide when it was first published in October of 2006. It contained dire predictions about the impact of climate change in different parts of the world. But it can be revealed that when the report was printing by Cambridge University Press in January 2007, some of these predictions had been watered down because the scientific evidence on which they were based could not be verified. And despite all that evidence, ladies and gentlemen, the Pentagon is ranking global warming as a destabilizing force. Yes, U.S. defense and military is now saying that global warming is destabilizing the United States. A fisherman in a dried reservoir of Lamb Takam Dam, Thailand, a consequence of global warming. The Pentagon says climate change does not cause conflict, but it could act as an accelerant. So the Pentagon's new enemy, global warming. And behind the scenes, the Copenhagen climate deal gets a low-key endorsement. See, despite all the lies, all the propaganda being right out in the open, they're pushing forward. They didn't get their world government 200-page document signed. Instead, they got a, I think it was either 3 or 6 pages document, which was much broader signed, and they're just quietly bringing it about, quietly moving towards global governance while we suck our thumbs and get ready to pay carbon taxes to the banksters. All right, let's slam through some calls. 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. Let's go to Jim in New York. Jim, you're online. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, hey, there we go. Yep, what's up, buddy?
Is this, you got me?
Well, yeah, you're on the line, buddy. You are on the line, Jim, okay. Yes. What do you got?
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say, yesterday I was listening to Dr. Stan Monteith, because you guys have nothing on Saturday except the refeed. And he has a guest, Lindsay Williams, on again, right?
Yeah.
You know Lindsay, the pastor?
Yep.
Yes? Okay. And I don't know if Alex, he's probably aware, but if he isn't, it'd be a good idea to have him on again. Because he was talking about the year 2010, what his guy up there told him, that they're going to devalue the dollar by 30% or 50%, mm-hmm. which means if, you know, if it's 50, if you're paying $3, you're going to be paying 6. And you, I heard you say before about, you know, struggling to pay your bills like all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the audience may want to hear what he has to say. I'm sure Alex does. If he didn't,
well, Stan Monteith is actually going to be an upcoming Alex Jones documentary. Aaron Dykes and Rob Jacobson just came back from a trip of interviewing him. So look for him in Fall of the Republic, too. I appreciate the call, Jim. Let's go to Adrian in North Carolina. Adrian, you're online.
What's going on, Mr. Burmans?
How you doing?
All right. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you and Alex maybe, to be honest with you, since my situation was kind of similar to yours, you know, I was kind of blind to a lot of things, but then for some reason, like after 9/11 happened when I was in college, you know, I went to this website and I saw Alex's name for some reason. I've always been the type of person that always wanted to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. So that kind of led me down that rabbit hole. So I've been pretty much hooked ever since. But in a nutshell, I just kind of wanted to lay this out to you and get off the phone. I've been noticing here lately, because I'm from Greensboro in the Triad in North Carolina, that on every just about every block, it seems like all of these new companies that are basically selling gold for cash. Like, mm-hmm. if you got any type of scrap gold, they want you to sell it in for cash. And I've been reading the paper a whole lot, and they've been selling, like, promoting, like, these free, giving away free safes and things of this nature. And it's kind of like all the stars are aligning or something bad to happen. It's kind of like you don't even necessarily have to be that smart, but you can kind of feel it in your human instincts, like something is terribly wrong in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've seen so many more of these commercials that you're talking about, Cash for Gold, even like 2 years ago when Ed McMahon and MC Hammer were doing the Cash for Gold commercials on the Super Bowl. I could say, wow, man, Cash for Gold has gotten so big that they are actually advertising on the Super Bowl when you're paying ungodly amounts. But this is 2 years ago when I think gold was still around the $700-$800 marker. So they obviously knew something the general population didn't. I'm telling people, look, get your gold, get your silver. That's what you want as your savings. You don't want paper in some bank that can't guarantee you anything, especially when the dollar is being devalued by the day. I appreciate the call, Adrian. Keep up the good work. Keep awakening those minds. Let's go to Steve in Michigan. Steve, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Hey.
I got some questions about the new internet. That's the internet too, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are all the ISPs going to be affected by this?
Well, this is their plan. Back in 2004, when they really started talking about Internet 2, what they said is they would trust a handful of companies and universities. And just like the CIA trusts a handful of companies and universities to kind of be their front organizations, these companies and universities will have the large domains. So in other words, you'll be able to have a subpage if they allow you on, you know, Yale.com or whatever business, you know, like I guess Google will probably still be in the mix. Apple will somehow be in the mix and you can get a sub page from there. But here's where they want. Alex was talking about a license to be on the internet. What they really want is a biometric scan of your thumbprint. And that's why you started seeing some of the notebooks, some of the PCs out there coming with the little, thumb scanner on the side. So you'd have to scan to get in your laptop and it would be secure to everybody but you if you had the thumb scanner on that. You'll see similar devices on all keyboards made after a certain period of time. And when you log on to the internet, it will ask you for your biometric information. You will scan your thumb and then no matter what you do on the internet, it will assume that you are that person. That is really the command and control system that they want to set up via this internet too. And they're basically going to say they're going to make it about a bandwidth issue. A security issue will be a side issue, but they'll say, look, we don't have enough bandwidth for this new high definition content. We are able to go a lot faster, but we just don't have the storage. So we literally have to rip the infrastructure up of the original internet and give all this power to these universities and large corporations who will now dole out internet. That's the basic scheme for internet too. Anything else, Stephen?
Yeah. If Lord Obama decides that he's, is he going to just declare this from his being
no, it's all,
the universe?
No, here's how it goes, Steve. Steve, it's all incremental. He's already set up the Office of Cybersecurity. That was announced 6 months ago. He has a cybersecurity czar. All these things take time. You know, they announce Internet 2, maybe it was in 03, 04. And then people gradually started moving from an Internet 1 look to all of a sudden the buzzword was Internet 2.0. And they'll come up with a new buzzword. So he's already set up the infrastructure. The Department of Homeland Security is already there. The Office of Cybersecurity is being built right now. When those two forces combine and you see other offices, not just in the United States, but abroad in Europe and possibly in Central and South America, that's when you'll see it start being put into place. And it may be put into place in Australia first. We know you can't get YouTube in China. I mean, they have such a heavy firewall system. You can sit there and try to IP spoof all day and you won't be able to get on these sites. So you're already seeing it in some nations with regulation of what the internet is now. And you will just see it on crack cocaine, just super style when it goes into the UN control grid, the United States control grid, the UK control grid, the European Anglo-American control grid. Appreciate the call. Let's go to James in Massachusetts. James, you're on the line.
Two things right off the bat. Your Alan just got stopped on the throughway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what accident he got bagged on?
Well, you know what? I'm going to hold you over. I'm not sure what he should have done. You know, everybody's got a thing to say about how you handle these situations. Unless you're in a situation where you're being pulled over by three different police officers, you know, and you haven't done anything wrong, you don't know what to do. Well, we're going to come back to our callers. It's the Info Warrior. Small recap for those that missed the interview we conducted about an hour ago. My buddy Chris Quackenbush is in upstate New York. He's at the yield sign. A police officer has somebody pulled over there. He pulls past the yield sign and into the toll booth. The toll booth lady says, look, they want you to pull over to the side of the road, pulls over to the side of the road. An officer comes up, immediately starts talking about, are there drugs or guns in the car? Are you on crystal meth? Are you on heroin? Two other officers show up. They completely search the vehicle. They find nothing. They don't offer him a breathalyzer because they say, no, we think that you're on smack. They don't find any track marks. It's absolutely ridiculous. He goes down to the police station and they want to take his blood and urine. This is where he says, you know what? I'm not giving my blood and urine. His car has been impounded. His job is in jeopardy as his DWAI, which he received, was given to his healthcare boss. It's pretty crazy. What's your opinion on it, James? What should he have done?
First off, his email address, M-U-Z-I-C. I didn't get the rest of it because the audio was so lousy.
Yeah, it's M-U-Z-I-C. I think it's I-L-L at, what was it, Yahoo, I think? At Yahoo.com?
Okay. M-U-Z-I-C. I-L-L at Yahoo. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, do you know geographically where he got nailed there?
I'm thinking, It was on the Amsterdam exit, and if memory serves me, I believe the Amsterdam exit is exit 27 on the thruway. I may be wrong.
I don't remember the numbers, but I used to make that run frequently, and I never had a problem with the troopers there. I made it about once every 2 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Well, what's your opinion? What do you think he should have done when he was confronted by all these officers?
I think he did about as well as he could have because I wouldn't have gone for the sampling either. And quite frankly, I've never been in that situation, so I don't know how he would have reacted. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20, right?
Yeah, hindsight is 20/20. It's just crazy to me that you don't have any rights in this country. They can sit there. They can search your car. You can pass the sobriety test, and then they can just deny the fact that even a dash cam exists, take your car. And it isn't like this guy's driving a Rolls Royce, you know. I would be surprised if he's making more than $30,000 a year, as so many people in my age group are struggling just to keep a job. You know, people don't want to talk about that, but the unemployment rate of the 20 to 35-year-olds out there, it's a lot bigger than 10%. It's upwards of 30 or 40%, folks. Let's be real. And the ones that aren't unemployed are underemployed. We get no respect, my generation. None. Zero. Zilch. They expect us to flip burgers for the rest of our lives. I promise you that. I thank you for the call, James. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. You're doing a great job. I was just going to bring up that piece about Kramer. Here's a guy that worships the very criminals that caused the crisis. And now the consolidation of real assets, such as roads, water supplies, and private property, is all that's left.
Mm-hmm.
And then that should be reason right there to just turn the darn TV off forever. I don't know why people can't see this.
Sir, the iPad is coming in 2 months. Don't you understand? We need the TV because we have to worship Apple. We have to worship Steve Jobs. We have to worship Microsoft. We love Xbox Live. The Super Bowl's on next week. You know, it doesn't matter if they're gutting the economy. I think that we could have live firefights in this country and people still wouldn't wake up, unfortunately, Mike.
Yeah. And, you know, these banks, they're no longer, they don't want to lend, Jason, because there's no bonuses with lending to you or anybody else. There's no bonuses. There's only bonuses from making bets with taxpayer money. And then if they're wrong, you know, they just go get a little bailout. Well,
Mike, we don't have
what?
To worry. Barack Obama is going after the fat cat bankers. Haven't you read the headline? It's over for Wall Street and the big banks. Barack Obama's here to save us all as they give out the biggest bonuses to date. As the economy crumbles in front of our eyes, they just bonus out millions and billions of dollars and pat each other on the back as the complicit mainstream media names Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, as the man of the year. And then Kramer gets up on television like a little weasel and he says, I love Timmy Geithner. Can't we just say we love Timmy Geithner? And you know what? It's okay that the Bavarian Illuminati's real. And, you know, they are powerful. He puts them at the apex of the power structure by saying the Trilateral Commission is next. Folks, in between those two, there's maybe one organization that's a little bit more powerful than the Trilateral Commission, not as powerful as the quote-unquote Illuminati, whatever that is, whatever you want to call it. It's called the Bilderberg Group. Okay, the Trilateral Commission only has 300 or so members. The Bilderberg Group has about 20, 25 core members, and then they recruit from the who's who of today in politics, business, and media. We're going to come back to Dave, Jeff, Gary, Scott, Paul, Nick, and others. It's the Info War with Jason Burmes, 888-201-2244. Doesn't matter if the president just keeps sending people into the Middle East and will continue to do so. Send them into Yemen. Send them into Africa. Send them to Iran. Yeah. I love imperialism. Yes. Woo. We're going to go to your calls in just a minute. But, you know, we covered so much on the program, including Stan Day being arrested, a U.S. black operations youngster in connection with this senator who had her office spied on. There's a whole thing going on there. Covered in the first hour, we covered the false Copenhagen claims and so much more. I want to hit up these news stories. Egypt set to unveil Tutankhamun DNA results. Why is Jason Burmes covering this other than the fact that it's extremely interesting? Ancient Egyptian history to me is extremely interesting. Well, I'm covering it because there are some theories out there, and I recently watched a documentary called Ring of Power. I think some of it's pretty good. Some of it's, I mean, the quality of the thing is awful, but some of it has some good information. And there's this notion out there that the elite may be derived from ancient Egyptian bloodlines. And some of the elite themselves believe this and have put out what I would call propaganda, saying that there is a bloodline of the elite that is above all other bloodlines called the Merovingian line. And I wouldn't be shocked if from these DNA results, some of these Merovingians come out and say, look, it's proven. It's real. We're the descendants of Jesus Christ. Here it is. And I just thought it was interesting, something to report on. Egypt is set up to unveil Tutankhamun DNA results. Scientists say they have cracked the HIV/AIDS puzzle for drugs. I would be very hesitant about this. I'm not going to be taking the HIV or AIDS vaccine that they're promulgating in the mainstream press. And for those that don't know, I mean, Dr. David Ho, who I recently, for some reason, saw on television, cured AIDS back in the 90s with a cocktail of protease inhibitors. If you were rich, you survived AIDS, a la Magic Johnson. Back in the day, it was like $80,000 for this cocktail for a year. That's a lot. I know that Jason Burmes' life on paper ain't worth $80,000 to some, so they'll probably just give me AZT to die. But be very wary about these new drugs and who gets them. And if they're trying to give them to you preemptively or preemptive shots, not good stuff. I was going to go over the Jesse Ventura alternate article. I thought that was interesting. Let's see. And then I had this article here, assisted suicide, 4 out of 5 say do not prosecute. Here it is setting the precedent, you know, showing you the worst case scenarios to get people behind assisted suicide that so that life holds no meaning. Be very wary of people that advocate assisted suicide, not because they're bad people, but because they may not be in the know. There it is right there. Dr. David Ho got Man of the Year honors by the propaganda masters over at Time Magazine. What year is that? Tell me what year that is. Please tell me. What's it say? It'll be on the top right. I can't see it. Click on it so it's larger, and then it'll tell you guys. Tell me what year that is. Because nobody believes me. I remember that saying, 96, the man cured AIDS, okay? He didn't cure it all the way, but he was having people survive with it in 96, 14 years ago. Whenever I talk about that, people, Jason Burmes is a nut job. It was reported in Time. Read the article, please. I was in shock as a teenager. I was 16 years old when that thing came out. And I was like, wow, this is going to revolutionize everything. And then it just kind of fell under the cracks. All right, let's continue with the callers. Dave in Michigan. Dave, you're on the line.
Yeah, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were talking earlier on about all the molten steel in the effort of the 9/11 or the Twin Tower collapses there, mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering, has anyone done any calculation on the potential energy that was released by the buildings falling themselves?
Yeah, actually, in Loose Change Final Cut, I know the little clip that I put in there, it started with this physicist and structural engineer out in the United Kingdom. I know his name is Gordon something or other. Gordon Ross, perhaps? Gordon Ross. He talks about the potential energy, and he talks about the physics involved in Loose Change Final Cut, and he does give some calculations in that interview.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, as far as all the molten steel in the basement, it would be a massive amount of potential energy that would be released into kinetic form just from, you know, the gravitational potential alone. And that might account for quite a bit of the molten steel. I can't imagine the beams being cut themselves would release, you know.
Well, the bottom line is the mainstream debunkers and media refuse to even acknowledge that there were 2,000-degree-plus temperatures at the base of the World Trade Center. And we know this from the NASA thermal photography. But notice the debunkers just say, oh, these truthers are all lying. You see, the steel didn't have to melt for the towers to collapse. That is foregoing the argument. We're saying that there was molten metal, molten steel, and molten iron on the scene of the World Trade Center, which is impossible by all official accounts, and they just refuse to even address that it exists. And that's why John Gross of NIST in that video just says, I was on the scene. I didn't see any molten metal. Please give me the thermal images that show the molten metal. And then he refuses to give. And by the way, the guy in Loose Change Final Cut that offers him the thermal images is a professor at the university that he was speaking of. We didn't include his name because he wanted to remain somewhat anonymous and not lose his job like people like Stephen Jones and others who came forward. So we kept that out. But if you haven't seen Loose Change Final Cut, if you haven't seen Fabled Enemies, you can see both of them over at prisonplanet.tv, $5.95 a month for a membership, folks. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Jeff in Michigan. Jeff, you're on the line.
Hey now, Jason.
Hey.
Hey, yeah, the bottom line, what's going on in upstate New York with your buddy there is it doesn't even matter if he was, you know, I'm assuming he wasn't intoxicated when this happened, but, you know, if he would have dropped for him, you know, whatever he's done in the past month is going to show up.
That's
and,
right.
And that's what they can get him on, man.
No, exactly. And they know this and they see, you know, a youngster and, you know, what 20-something guy maybe hasn't smoked a joint in the last month or maybe been at a party and done a bad drug or two or something on a weekend at their own leisure. It certainly didn't mean that he was intoxicated at the time that they pulled him over. But again, like you said, they know how to rig the system. So they're like, well, just give up your blood and urine and we'll see what's in your system for a month and then we'll charge you afterwards.
Oh, man. But hands up to him, dude. I wouldn't have done it either. So good job, man.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate people liking the guest I had on today. Let's go to Scott in Washington. Hopefully we can help him out. Scott, you're on the line.
Yeah. Three quick things. Just one on the subject of that Kramer guy. You know, if you ask all these so-called people or you dig into their so-called financial background or something like that, I bet you 10 to 1 that all of these people have got their money in gold and not in the stuff that they're selling to all the public and trying to fool them.
I got to agree with you there.
Yeah, which goes to show you how much they play the public for fools like that. The second thing I wanted to mention, you know, that I guess I can't remember which Democrat it was that's trying to introduce some amendment or something to try to change the rules in the filibuster rule in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are some of the same people 5 years ago who were screaming about not ending it when the Republicans wanted to do the nuclear option thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same token, had they had used that same filibuster rule, they could have stopped some of these judges from getting on the same court. Now they're in power. They want to end it for themselves.
Big shocker.
So, yeah. Yeah. The third quick thing I just wanted to mention, you know, I just thought of, you know, the lady down there, Deborah Medina, who's running for governor. I just thought of a theme song for her. You remember that song in the early 90s? It was called Funky Cold Medina.
Oh, yeah. By who is Funky Cold Medina by? Come on. Somebody. I know his name. Who? That's right. It's Tone Loc. Oh, snap, Jaron. Go ahead, Scott.
No, that's just what I wanted to add. I just thought that might be a little
maybe next time she comes on the program on Alex Jones, we'll intro her with Funky Cold Medina. Keep it in mind, Jaron. I appreciate the call, Scott.
All right.
Hey, thanks, man. Let's go to Paul in Canada. It's nice to be able to actually keep an upbeat attitude when I do these kind of shows, when I am talking about such serious issues. Some people don't dig it. They're like, Burmans, how can you be so happy-go-lucky? Look, man, I got to live my life. I know I'm confronting evil on a daily basis. I know that things are really bad. I'm keeping informed, but that doesn't mean Jason Burmans can't have a smile on his face. From time to time, this stuff does get to me. I do get a little heated up. You'll see a little sweat on my brow, a beet red Burmans face. But for the most part, you know, I've come to terms with the fact that these people are evil. They are trying to dominate humanity through central control. And I just have to step up to the plate, do the best job I can in the films that I create and the radio shows that I do to enlighten other people so that hopefully, eventually, we can combat and stop this. Let's go to we already got Paul in Canada. Paul, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, you're online, sir.
Yes, I didn't get the whole gist of the of what happened to the guy with the officers, but I just wanted to, like, I'm pretty sure it's the same in Canada as it is the U.S., but basically don't talk to them, you know. Don't say anything. You don't have to. It's not really going to help you in any way or any form. And also,
I would say, you know, you're correct to a certain extent, but when you get pulled over on the side of the road and they're just saying, hey, you blew through a yield sign. Of course you have to, you know, you're thinking you're going to drive away, you know, and then they start asking you about drugs in the car. If you don't say there aren't any drugs in the car, they're going to assume there are drugs in the car and your car is going to get searched anyway. So by him saying, no, there's not drugs in the car, he's at least making the statement, look, there's no drugs in the car. So when they search it and there are no drugs in the car, that statement's out there. No matter what, these guys were hell-bent on bringing him down to the station, embarrassing him. And, you know, they did what they wanted to do, and they took his car and they impounded him. And, you know, that's just another example of how the police state continues to get out of control. I mean, last week we went over the story of the young 18-year-old viola player who was an honor student who got beaten up by several police officers who were not even in uniform and then tased in the head. I mean, this is the country we live in. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, well, yeah, two things about the about getting pulled over. I know not everybody can afford a good cell phone with a camera. I suggest the iPhone because it's flat, and what you can do is when they pull you over, you just leave the iPhone right on your lap and you record it. Mm-hmm. You keep it rolling the whole time. And also, if they do want to search your car, one thing you can do is when you get out of your car, you can throw your keys in and you can lock it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can do about that.
All right, Paul.
I learned that off. Yes, and also, I just want to it's some valuable advice, but I also wanted to get your take on, have you heard of these guys, the Love Police?
Yeah, the Love Police are the guys that, they're out in the UK, right? The guy with the megaphone that sits there. Yeah, I've seen him. No, he does some really good work, and he talks about the Orwellian society. I like the Love Police a lot. Thank you for the call, Paul. Let's jump to Nick in Colorado. Nick, you're on the line.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Can I read to you from a local newspaper?
Please do.
Police have arrested a 64-year-old New Jersey man Tuesday for allegedly threatening to blow up an Amtrak passenger train.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. What are the details on this one?
They have allegedly heard him saying, "You are willing to go to jail with me? This Homeland Security thing is serious. They are going to do to you what they done to me. We have to work in small groups. They can hold us for 18 months. Do they have security on these trains? Are you with me or not?"
Now where is this guy? This guy's out of Colorado. Who is he supposedly working with?
He's working with, he's actually out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he the white Al-Qaeda we've been told about?
They're going with black now.
Okay.
Black.
Is he Muslim? Connect. Is he Muslim? Is he Christian? Is he indifferent? Are they just saying it could be anybody now? Go ahead.
This is in the Pueblo chieftain. Mm-hmm. He looks like an African. Mm-hmm. Okay. A background check shows that African Liberation Army, and he had a criminal, violent past.
So what do you think? They're setting up to go into Africa? They've been talking about it.
They're trying to heisten Amtrak security.
So what, now I'm going to have to go through a body scanner to get on a train?
Well, they said that he had a blanket over his body, and they could not see what he was doing under his body.
Oh, so now we're just...
And he also said, 17th century tactics won't work. We have to use 21st century tactics.
It does sound, it reeks of a setup. Email me the article. I'd like to read it, and we'll definitely follow the story from here. I appreciate it, Nick. Let's go to Anonymous in California. You're on the line. Yes, sir. Or ma'am. Going once, going twice. Anonymous, you there? And we're going to go to Dan in California. Dan, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, good.
I just wanted to let you know a couple things. One, the stuff in New York is not just happening in New York. It's also happening over here in California. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine got pulled over because they were searching for illegal immigrants. And they found out that he did not have a California ID, so he got his car confiscated, and he had to fight, and he's still fighting. But another thing I just wanted to let you know about an article that I recently read in Scientific America on July 29, 2010, Genetically Modified Forest Plan for U.S. Southeast. It says the native pines could be sent to pasture in place of eucalyptus, and it does talk about how government, including, I guess, in conjunction with a company called Arborgen LLC, has been showing great interest in basically genetically modifying plants to take over our native pine trees and native forests, which I thought was a little bit, you know, they
a
do
little
it
bit over the top.
I'm sorry?
A little bit over the top, you thought, maybe?
Well, a little bit over the top, but also, you know, they do it under the guise of, hey, this is going to be great for our environment, and you know, we'll be able to make ethanol, and these trees will be used to green our lives. But in the same way that, you know, they talk about all this global warming, how invasive will these genetically modified plants be to our environment? Because any time that I've ever seen, and I actually started in college studying genetics, anytime you've ever introduced, a non-native species to take over mosquitoes, like in Florida or this place or that place, or frogs to take over mosquitoes, they always become this very invasive species.
Well, sometimes also they have disastrous environmental consequences. You know, let's be honest.
So how is this supposed to, you know?
Well, the bottom line is they want to regulate the nutrients that go in our body. They want to really separate us from Mother Nature. You know, a lot of these people who are into the occult that really do run the system will say, you know, they're fronting out like, oh, we have to be of the earth. If you read that eco-science book that's right next to me here, they literally talk in this on how they have to, if they don't call it religion, they'll call it something else, but it'll be earth worship. But then they want to degrade the earth and give us all genetically modified food. Why? Because they want us dead. They want us malnourished. They want us as slaves, and that's the bottom line. Coming back, final segment of the Info Warrior. After this, it's Jason Burmes over at PrismPlanet.tv.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slaying test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barbed curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the medias these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
If you missed any of the broadcast, we went over the Senator Landrieu office break-in and the association with the guy who broke the Acorn story with the other three individuals, one of which looks like intelligence. Remember, he helped the CIA recruit people for intelligence at his university. He's been on trips for intelligence. He's also the head of the George Washington University's conservative paper, and they had this listening device that the FBI just happened to overlook in their affidavit, as well as they're trying to say it was a stunt. Looks like a black operation. to myself and others. We covered the latest Copenhagen climate change deal. Again, they're still pushing for this high-level panel. They still want global government, despite the fact that I read five or six headlines totally denouncing the idea that the glaciers are melting and the boogeyman, carbon dioxide, is coming to get us, folks. So if you missed any of that, you go to theinfowarrior.com, following the program, pick up the podcast, or go to prisonplanet.tv and pick up the WMV final call for the evening. Steven in Houston. Steven, you're online.
Yeah, hey, good evening, Jason.
Good evening.
Hey, a couple things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, are you still on target for getting your latest production done, Invisible Empire?
Absolutely. It's looking like it is really looking like March 15th, folks. If it's not out March 15th, please forgive me, but I've got about 2 weeks left in the production of this thing. It's about 80% done. I'm completely excited. I came in noon today to start working on it. I'll be working on it after the show for a little while. I came in yesterday, but I am on target to meet my deadline, and you will see Invisible Empire March 15th over at prisonplanet.tv.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know who Gary Franchi is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you seen his latest production, Take Our Freedom Back by Band of Patriots, the music video?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Everybody needs to go to bandofpatriots.us. That's the name of this band. This is the best music video you'll ever see. It's called Take Our Freedom Back. Gary Franchi produced it. It is excellent. It'll blow you away. I mean, it'll inspire you. Every time I watch it, I want to cry because it just totally summarizes everything that's going on with this war against the global tyranny machine. And, you know, go to that. It's bandofpatriots.us. This is excellent. They have a free MP3 you can download on that as well.
All right, we'll definitely check it out, Stephen. I appreciate the call. And if you want to get Gary Franchi's latest video, we carry not only America Freedom to Fascism, which is put out by his people, but Camp FEMA, also available over at Infowars.com. And that was directed by William Lewis, who also has done some great work with In Plain Sight and Washington, You're Fired. Folks, get fired up about liberty. Get fired up about the truth. I know a lot of you are probably slurping down beers and watching the Pro Bowl right now, psyching yourself up for big Super Bowl Sunday next week. But there are more important things than football. Obama doesn't want you to know there are more important things than football, and that's why he's proposing a collegiate football playoff. So now you'll get to see a smiling Obama's face on ESPN News yet again, and you'll say, man, he is like everybody else. He is a good guy. He is looking out for the common man. I've been waiting for a college football playoff my whole life. I love you, Obama. Get over it, folks. It's a trick. It's a trap. It's a distraction. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Thanks for joining me on another Sunday. We will be back next week, hopefully live. If not, we'll try to do like a show during the middle of the week so, you know, the board ops can watch the Super Bowl. We'll be back next week, later on.